It is a Monday morning, WWIB, quarter to six, time for the best 5 minutes of the day. And our friend Jason Cans from jasoncans.com is on the line with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a Monday.
Here we are again.
Yes, that's a Monday, July 13th. And a friend of ours with a birthday today. Who might that be?
Larry Crabb's birthday is today. He turned 76 today.
Uh-huh. That's right. Yep. So July 13th. We combined to send him a really nice gift package last year. We didn't do that this year.
We didn't. I actually meant to send him a birthday card, and I didn't even get around to doing that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, he shares a birthday with our own Greg Stewart, so a July 13th birthday. And you are the editor of Living in the Larger Story, The Christian Psychology of Larry Crabb. Now, real briefly, out of the gate, for anybody who gets uncomfortable with the word psychology, I mean, can you calm them?
Yeah, so Larry, you know, his initial training was in clinical psychology, but he very much shifted in the direction of a deeply biblical-based spiritual direction. And the notion of Christian psychology that we're trying to address here is something that is deeply biblically informed and glorifies God in helping people.
Yeah, and so we were down in Houston just over a year ago for the launch of the Christian Psychology Program that your friend Eric Johnson is launching there at
yep.
Houston Baptist University. And so, I don't know, I thought for Larry's birthday, you work through what's really cool is the article that you co-authored is it takes you from A to Z, all of Larry's books, and he's got a new one coming out tomorrow. So let's go through it here. Ready?
Sure.
All right. His first book was Basic Principles of Biblical Counseling way back in 1975.
Yeah. So a long time ago. That one is definitely influenced by early cognitive behavioral psychology and probably not for the general reader. I mean, you might get something out of it, but it was kind of his foray into psychology or into biblical counseling.
Yeah. And then 1977, Effective Biblical Counseling.
Yeah, so that one, again, same sort of thing, kind of expands upon some of the stuff that he did in Basic Principles. Again, a pretty strong influence of cognitive therapy there.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to maybe lesser known, The Adventures of Captain Al Scabbard.
Yes, so he wrote two books called The Adventures of Captain Al Scabbard. He wrote them for his son. To provide a biblically informed superhero, essentially a character named Al Scabbard,
Have you read these?
Have you read it?
No, I have them. Thanks to you, yeah. I have them.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I would not recommend those. Of all Larry's books, those two are probably my least recommended.
But if you love Larry, you may want. It was cool to have it. So. All right, then he went on, though, but it was a great bounce back, The Marriage Builder, and our friend Rob Gillette in his practice as a Christian counselor drew a lot from this terrific book, The Marriage Builder.
Yeah, so Marriage Builder has been, I think, put out three different times, and definitely his notion or his understanding of marriage has helped a whole bunch of people, and he's beginning to shift his thinking by that point.
And again, folks, the great thing about Jason's book, Living in the Larger Story, The Christian Psychology of Larry Crabb, he gives you a summary of each of these books we're going through here. Encouragement was a 1984 book re-released in 2013, written with his former ministry partner, Dan Allender.
I love Encouragement. I think it's something that's so often missing. I think it's a gift that you have as an encourager, and this is just such a good reminder for us.
Oh, thanks. So initially called Encouragement Key to Caring. Now I guess The Unexpected Power of Building Others Up.
Yep.
1985, Hope When You're Hurting. And again, we were doing interviews. This is one of the books I think we may have talked to Larry about of the many interviews we did over the years. So,
yeah, and this one, he's not a huge fan of this book. I think he felt that they kind of threw it together. And but again, if you want to know Larry's work, it's one that's worth looking at.
Yeah. 1987, Understanding People.
Yeah, Understanding People. He presents kind of this model for, again, as it says, understanding people. Well, how do we relate to one another? And his model of counseling.
1988, his best known book. They've had anniversary re-releases. We've had multiple interviews with him about it. You and I in our crab conversations, talked through inside out. If real change is possible, it begins from the inside out, right?
Yeah, and probably his best known book, or maybe the one that's had the widest influence. And again, he touches on this concept of thirst, of taking an inside look, which many of us don't do, I don't think.
Another one that impacted me powerfully from Larry Crabb here on his 76th birthday. We appreciate him. Men and Women.
Men and Women, I think, this is another one you and I talked about. Uh-huh. And it's not just about marriage or marital relating. It really gets into this idea of justified self-centeredness.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's really significant. He talks about the Christian life being a celebration of forgiveness and a really helpful concept. Finding God after the death of his only sibling, Bill, in a plane crash in 1991. And I love the line where he says, God, I know you, but I need to know you better.
Yeah, and I can't say a whole lot more about that other than it's raw and it deals with real stuff, real suffering.
1994, and it's 2020, so we got a truck here. God of my father. He and his dad wrote that.
Yeah, so his father was his hero, and it's just kind of an exploration of his dad's faith development.
It's interesting because when I was at the SSD a year ago and I asked him who'd be on his spiritual Mount Rushmore, and the author, theology professor James Houston, J.I. Packer, and of course C.S. Lewis, along with his dad.
So. Yep.
Silence of Adam in 1995, re-released in 2013, Becoming Men of Courage in a World of Chaos.
Yeah, I love this book as a director to courage, to do things that are difficult, to step into difficult situations even when we're afraid.
All right, see if we can wrap it up in a minute. Connecting in 1997 starts him in a new direction, right?
Yep, this is a big turning point towards spiritual direction in this idea of relational theology. I think it really begins to move in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Then in 1999, The Safest Place on Earth, which gets renamed later.
Becoming a True Spiritual Community, probably my favorite book of his, again, because I think it describes a vision for community that we don't normally see.
Shattered Dreams is a study in the Book of Ruth that comes out in 2001, God's Unexpected Path to Joy.
Yep, book dealing with suffering that a lot of publishers rejected, but has been a great seller for him.
Boy, and in COVID times, this would be a great instructive read, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely, it would.
All right, 2002, The Pressure's Off.
Yep, Living in the Freedom of Grace, I think, is a message that many of us still need to hear. I need to hear it day to day.
Soul Talk in 2003, The Papa Prayer in 2006. A lot of books. 2009, 66 Love Letters, probably my favorite of his, but Real Church in 2009, Fully Alive, having to do with, again, he addresses gender there.
Yeah. One of his common themes, Different Kind of Happiness in 2016, and one of my favorite books of his.
Mm-hmm. When God's Ways Make No Sense in 2018.
Another book on suffering.
There you go, and there's a lot of that. And finally, out tomorrow, I believe, Waiting for Heaven, Freedom from the Incurable Addiction to Self. And again, more intriguing, and another work from Larry Crabb. You'll have to add to your book, I guess.
I will, maybe.
Thank you, Jason. She is here at Post Markets, so we don't want to turn her away. We've done the special events, but good morning to Hillary.
Good morning. I actually, you'd think I'd be on time because I've been up since 3:45 this morning.
Uh-huh.
But no, so 3:45, the dog starts barking a little bit, yipping, needs to go outside. Well, when there's no school, that's Alyssa's job. So she gets up, lets the dog out, whatever. I get up, use the restroom, go back to bed. She comes into our room bubbling over because the stars were amazing.
Oh, okay.
So what does the Roth family do? We get out of bed at 3:45 to look at the stars. And sure enough, there's, I think it was Venus and there's Mars. And we got my dad up because he knows more about these things. And that's how at 4 a.m. I was standing in my bathrobe in the middle of the street with my family looking at the stars.
If it's not the fireworks, it's a star. Yeah. You guys like to send things into the sky or look at things up there.
Yeah. Let me tell you, when you really have that night vision honed from sleeping for a few hours, the stars are pretty amazing at 4 a.m.
I was having breakfast, I think. Yeah. So I think I rolled out of bed a little after 4 this
morning. It actually did roll through my head that, like, wow, I'm even awake before Halvo is this morning. After Jason Kanz, too. I was like, Jason Kanz is usually up about now.
Yeah, there you go. People do get up that early.
Good times. Not usually for me, but.
Well, you are here nonetheless.
Here I am.
And so first cup and the stars. There we go. Write that down for the podcast. So. Well, Hillary, I don't know what you do to laugh on a Monday, but I try to get a hold of a couple of guys in Michigan, and they're on the line with us this morning, Josiah and Drew. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, we got both of you guys
We got both of them.
I know, Josiah, like, you're with
really?
Us.
Really? We got both of them?
Yes, this is like blessing. This is like lightning striking twice in the same place. I promise.
It's a moment.
Okay, so this is 4 times we've tried, but 2 times we've got you. This is like fishing or baseball or something. So
exactly.
Batting 500, even Miguel Cabrera didn't bat that well back in the day.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No, we went from 1 to 3. We just raised our average to 167 points. So, so having some fun with you guys. But I said, you know, here, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, I build you as the black and white comedy team because Josiah – the African-American member of the contingent, and Drew, and you guys met each other in the last year and doing some comedy together. So in these racially tense times, it feels like that's a pretty cool deal.
Take it away, Drew.
I mean, that's cool. You know, we're happy to be doing it, and we're going to be doing a show in a couple weeks here in my backyard. It should be a lot of fun, and I love Josiah. He's my friend. Yeah, we're
so. What will be the mask?
We're having a good time.
So every people will come masked, or how's that going to work?
Yeah,
live in Detroit. So mask. We probably going to social distance. Mask seems too aggressive in my city.
Okay.
Josiah and I haven't talked about this yet, but I've bought 25 plastic boxes that I'm going to make everyone sit in. It's like a penalty box.
Wow. I guess the Red Wings do have quite the influence there in that city. So
the sad thing is they're not clear plastic, and they won't actually be able to see the show. Just saying.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be dunking everyone's head in Clorox before the show begins.
Perfect.
Speaking of dunking,
to gargle with gasoline. So
we're starting Food Truck Fridays here at WWIB this Friday. Did you see one of the latest ideas, Hillary? Is that they have a dunk tank for the morning show.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like, Mark and Caleb would have a great time with that. That'd be great for
Hillary,
you guys.
What about the people who want to put you in it?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. So I wanted to know, Josiah, Drew had said you're the kind, when we explained your absence 2 of those last 4 weeks, he just kind of said, you know, you got to understand, he said, Josiah's the kind of guy who, if it's your birthday, he'll show up at your house at 11 o'clock the night of your birthday and say, hey, dude, happy birthday. So how does, like, are you married, Josiah?
Yes, I am. So, married with 2 beautiful children. And my birthday is Friday. So.
Hey.
Okay. Well, happy birthday early. So how does that work in terms of how do other people, like, it seems like Drew would probably handle that kind of impulsivity well, but how do others deal with that around you?
This is how I look at it, Mark. I look at it, if you invite me to your house at 9 a.m., I have until midnight to get there.
Wow.
You invited me. I have an entire 12 hours to make to your house. If you invite me at 6, I may get there at 6 p.m., not 6 a.m.
So does that go the other way, too? Where, like, if you invite me at 9, I can show up at, like, 5 a.m. and say, hey, come be on my morning show with me.
Yeah, just call me. I say, hey, Drew, I'm on my way. Drew, I'm in front of your house. And he's like, hey, buddy. And it comes from my childhood. My dad said he was going to the store, and he was coming right back. And I was still waiting on it for a long time. So now I make everyone else wait for me.
There you go.
You know, I got to say, your approach, Josiah, I employed that in school. If my teacher said it was due that day, I thought that day went till midnight. So
absolutely.
Exactly.
All right. Well,
exactly.
That's
how I look at it.
So you have a birthday on Friday. So, Drew, now with your new friend, I mean, do you feel like do you have a gift picked out for Josiah or what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got a gift.
Yeah, that's my love language. If he doesn't buy me a gift, he's not my friend.
All right. All right. Tell you what. Next Monday, Next Monday is fun day. We'll find out about your birthday and find out what that gift was. So we'll get the recap. Thank you, guys.
Awesome.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, our connection from Michigan, the Black and White Comedy Team, Josiah Jones, Drew Fralick, the coming comedy show in Drew's backyard.
Always a good time. It's a Monday morning, and we're on the other side of the weekend, and what a weekend it was. What'd you guys do?
The big thing at our house was Grace turned 17, so the middle of our five children, and she is amazing, amazing Grace. You know, you hear that song sung a lot, and the name Grace is pretty common, but she is anything but common. We did our around-the-table tributes, if you will, and I usually lead it off for whatever reason. And so, and it started with, Grace, you are unique, and then a number of other great attributes. But Hillary, she is somebody who does kind of remind me of you as in terms of a strong woman with that world-changing capability. Mm. So a young Hillary being raised in our midst.
Good luck with that.
Be an ultrasound technician, and she's got a CNA class right now, so hard worker, and love her. So,
very cool.
Awesome.
Saturday, we went to Yellowstone Cheese and Cadot because I've been craving the real fresh cheese curds, not the refrigerated kind. So we got some fresh cheese curds. There was playing in the sprinkler water games. And then on Sunday, I'm going to give a shout out to my parents here because, you know, as a parent, you start to take the most joy in life out of the things that your children enjoy and seeing joy from them. And so Cooper's birthday was way back in March and my parents didn't get to come. Nobody got to come because of COVID. And so we came into the house, and my sisters and my mom had set up a surprise birthday party for Cooper since Grandma and Grandpa never got to give him presents. So there was a Mario cake, and there were presents, including a guitar that he absolutely loves, a little toy guitar. And they set up a treasure hunt with a baseball. That was the alternate theme to baseball and Mario, and so a baseball pinata. And so, I mean, he just had the best time. All my kids did. So I just really, really appreciate my parents doing that for my children. So.
Fantastic.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, we had a nice weekend. Grilled. My husband did a pork butt on the grill on Saturday, and it was amazing.
Saw the
and,
picture.
You know, you just kind of sit out there and watch the grill for the day, and we had a fire in the evening. It was just lovely. Yesterday was very relaxing, and today... Today's Grandpa Wayne. He's going home today.
Today's
the day, Grandpa. So it was nice last night. He decided to treat us for one more takeout. He said, I'm going to give you a bonus takeout. I want Red Lobster. I'm like, if you're going to pay for Red Lobster, I mean, we'll eat it Red Lobster.
Cheddar Bay biscuits, sure.
So we got us some takeout from Red Lobster, and guess what? We're having for lunch today, too.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
I know from your Facebook pictures, I think Friday night you had some
takeout. Yes.
The Ross ate well over the weekend.
We did. Yeah. Gino's Pizza, pork butt, and Red Lobster. Yeah.
There we go.
It wasn't all bad having Grandpa Wayne there when he's buying us takeout food, you know.
Goodbye.
Special there are lots treats. Of stories from Grandpa Wayne's time here.
Yeah, been... this morning we got Grandpa Wayne up at 4 a.m. to look at the stars with us.
He'll remember that,
He loved it. He was so excited to go out there and stand in the street and look at stars with us at 4 in the morning. Long story, but it was fun.
Well, I think we're all familiar here with the many challenges during this pandemic, and it's ongoing into July. And one of the challenges as it pertains to nursing homes is, you can't go see folks there. I mean,
correct.
So that's been
very challenging.
Challenged through the window, what have you.
Yeah.
Well, you got to have some ingenuity. Remember the faith of a few close friends, right? Through the roof.
They there you go.
The guy. Well, a 57-year-old Florida woman employing that kind of ingenuity. She's working as a dishwasher in her husband's nursing home so the pair can spend time together.
Oh, wow.
I know.
That.
Mary Daniel had not seen her husband for 114 days after his nursing home stopped allowing visitors amid the pandemic. That is, until she got the idea, I'm going to get a job there washing dishes twice a week. She told the Today Show, national publicity, she told the Today Show she's been tested three times since starting her job, saying the last thing she wants to do is bring COVID inside the facility. And now the couple is able to spend time together after her 90-minute shifts. That's not bad.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Dean, if you're ever in a nursing home and there's a pandemic, I'll consider getting a job at the nursing home so I can see you as long as you're still nice to me and not crabby about being in the nursing home.
He is approaching the big 5-0 for his next birthday.
Hopefully
those days are still down the road for him. But
I mean, we can hope.
Mm-hmm. What kind of job would you do?
Well, I mean, I'm a nurse, Caleb.
Yeah. So what, but would you still do that? Or would you do something
less intense? You know, I got to be honest with you. I've got to be honest with you. When I worked in nursing homes, because I worked in nursing homes as a nursing assistant and as a nurse, I had this conversation with your daughter, Grace, because she's going for a CNA class. Mm-hmm. I told her, you know what? I really enjoyed the work of being a nursing assistant in the nursing home more than being a nurse. Because as a nurse, it's like you do your treatment, you move on. You pass your med, you move on. You do your assessment, you move on. As a nursing assistant, like, you're helping these people to bathe, to dress. Mm-hmm. Like, you're spending more one-on-one time with them. And so you get to hear their stories. Mm. And you get to connect with them more. At least I did. I felt like I really connected more with them, like, person-to-person human.
Sure.
As a nursing assistant rather than a nurse. The nursing end was just more rushed.
And see, I know it's a totally different climate now too, but when, and hopefully when things get better, I just encourage parents to get your kids with these great grandmas and grandpas in the nursing homes too. That was something that my mom made us, so to speak, do, and we'd play games, we'd play the piano, things like that too. And so there was just this comfort level with the elderly and those who were more infirm from a young age. And again, I know we can't really right now, but man, I'd love to be able to get my kids back to that.
There were a couple of teachers in the fine city of Altoona, of course, that organized some middle school kids to do regular visits at nursing homes for a volunteer thing.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, one of my four grandparents I was so close to, we named our daughter Evelyn after her. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that grandparent influence. Does anybody have a better access to influencing children for Christ than grandma and grandpa? Mm-hmm. So please take full advantage of it.
What do you do if you have crop trampling elephants
the
raiding
disco.
Your property in Botswana? Well, other than showing them John Travolta's chest hair, you play disco and it scares them off.
Seriously.
Researchers in northern Botswana have come up with a unique way to protect their farmers' crops from elephants. Disco lights. Lines of flashing multicolored lights set up around farmers' fields near Chobe National Park have been shown to be highly effective at scaring off elephants. The park is home to over 7,500 elephants, and it's also in a floodplain, and so the elephants don't necessarily want to ruin the crops, but as they are tromping through, they tend to destroy everything in their path.
Elephants are very, very smart. You'd think you could just teach them not to.
To go around.
Now, this comes at the same time of the mass elephant die-off in Botswana. It remains a mystery, but officials and conservationists hope to have some answers in this coming week. So
the lights are set up at 30-foot intervals on poles up to 5 feet high, and they flash a different color constantly, red, green, amber, white, blue, or yellow. 75% of the time, it worked every time.
Huh.
And the elephants didn't like it.
There you go.
You know, they say how an elephant never forgets. So apparently they're just like, no, that wasn't a good era. We didn't like that.
So do they play music with it or is it just the disco-y lights?
I think it's just the lights, but the music makes it seem.
I think the music would be fun. I want to see some elephants dancing like Fantasia, but with disco.
There you go. And Dumbo swarming down from above.
Poor elephants.
We are here to educate you and inform you about things that you didn't know yesterday. Truth be told, we didn't know these things either, but we found them on the interwebs and now we're sharing them with you. Consumers today encounter from 3,500 to 5,000 marketing messages per day. In the 1970s, 500 to 2,000. Let me just say, the marketing messages that you hear here on the station, just pay attention to those. Ignore the rest, but pay attention to those.
Well,
helps
there's
everybody.
So many ways now. I used to just be like on the radio, but now it's not just it's the ads on TV and the things that ping right to your smartphone and your emails and your social media and
all the things where you try to click the little X when it pops up to and then it takes you to some random site selling currency or whatever.
Research shows that buying a 3-year-old used car and driving it as long as it's efficient saves 40% over buying a new car and doing the same.
I think Dave Ramsey would approve of that one.
Things you didn't know yesterday.
Yeah. About 157,000 American fathers, that's less than 1% of all dads, have elected to stay home and care for the kids full time. Up that number.
47% of Americans say Hollywood movies ain't as good as they used to be. 33% say they're getting better. Then the other folks are just kind of like,
I think I'm popcorn.
80% of college juniors and seniors claim they know how to take care of their money after they graduate, but 32% of them have missed a credit card payment and nearly a quarter have bounced a check.
Huh. Interesting. Sharks get all the headlines, but Bambi is the real killer. Shark attacks kill a dozen or fewer people in the U.S. each year, while car deer collisions kill an average of 130 a year. Wasps and bees kill nearly 50 Americans each year, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
So what is the channel that
has Deer Week on it?
Well, I was going to say Shark Week, right?
Is that what Animal Planet? I don't know.
But
it's
always
it.
A big one during sweeps, right?
Shark
and so
week,
deer car collisions.
Yeah,
so I've had a couple in my time.
Yeah,
how about you guys?
As have I.
Yeah.
Opening weekend of deer season one year. It's the only time I can say it.
Well, I take that
got
back.
A deer in opening
looking
weekend.
For something wood to knock on. We haven't had a deer, but we did hit a bear.
That's right.
So,
yeah,
a bear.
Do you mean there's a bear in Altoona? Yeah.
I think it's the one from Chippewa.
I don't know. There's a bear down the street. It was seen last.
You were talking about it last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So
as far as I know,
I mean, he's like everyone else. He's moving to Altoona, just like, hey, it's pretty good here.
Pretty good here.
Stick around.
Dean wanted to know if he was wearing a fedora and asking about a picnic basket, but, you know, so far.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.